Shalom, shalom. Welcome. Okay, tonight's shmooze is really based on a drasha I gave 3 years ago, which is really based on a Torah that I read from Rav Shlomo Busu. Rav Busu Shlita is the grandson of the Baba Sali. I know some people here read his Divrei Torah on Shabbos. And his idea is really based on an idea from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. But it's such an amazing idea. And again, Rav Busu shared it a couple of years ago, but I think it'll resonate even stronger right now. We have a double parsha this Shabbos, Chukas Balak. And of course, tonight we're going to talk about Balak. We know that Bilam, of course, is on his way to curse Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, his she-donkey stops in the road, and it's not moving. And Bilam is very frustrated by this. And the Malach has revealed itself to the donkey. The donkey refuses to move. And all of a sudden, Bilam starts striking his donkey. And the donkey speaks up to Bilam very suddenly, all of a sudden, the Perichav Beis. And the donkey says, Me osisi lecha, ki kisani ze shalosh regalim. What did I ever do? Imagine, all of a sudden, this talking donkey. What did I ever do to you that you've struck me these three times? Right? Me osisi lecha, ki kisani ze shalosh regalim. Interesting lashon, shalosh regalim. So Rashi says, why did the donkey use specifically these words, Shalosh Regalim? Rashi explains that Bilam was being given the following message. Bilam, you think you're going to go and curse Klal Yisrael to destroy Klal Yisrael? Don't you know Klal Yisrael celebrate the Shalosh Regalim? Don't you know the Jewish people come to Beis HaMikdash three times a year? And don't you know what Hashem says about Jews who come to Beis HaMikdash? What does Hashem say about Jews who come to Beis HaMikdash? Shir Hashirim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Ma yafu fe'omayech bana'olim bas nediv. How beautiful are your footsteps, pe'omayech. How beautiful are your footsteps, bina'olim, while you're wearing your shoes, bas nediv, daughter of nobles. How beautiful do you look in your shoes? Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, the words of Shlomo HaMelech. So you think, what? Bilam, you think you're going to curse the Jew? You're going to travel to curse the Jewish people? The donkey was alluding to Bilam. Why are you hitting me these Shalosh Regalim? Don't you know the Jews celebrate Shalosh Regalim? And Hashem finds them to be beautiful on their way to the Shalosh Regalim, on their ascent to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what makes you think you're going to be able to curse Klal Yisrael? So Rav Busu wondered, and we all wonder, I don't understand. What exactly is Shlomo HaMelech talking about? Ma yafu pa'amayech bana'olim bastadiv. You look so pretty in your shoes, daughter of nobles. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, my dear princess, I love your shoes, beautiful shoes. I happen to live with, Baruch Hashem, one wife, three daughters, and a son. So we're outnumbered in terms of the female percentage of our home. There's a lot of shoes in our home. Women sometimes have a lot of shoes, and Weinberg girls are no exception, right? So what's Shlomo Melech saying? Wow, you look beautiful. I love your new shoes. It's a fashion contest. Your new shoes are so beautiful. It's a very strange pasuk. But there's a Maimar Chazal, there's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, which really addresses this question. That Rav Yudan, in the Medrash, I always think of Rabbi Benjamin Yudan when I see Rabbi Yudan quoted in the Medrash. Rabbi Yudan says in the Medrash, what kind of strange pasuk is this? You're praising, I mean, you're talking about someone's shoes, that's how you define a person. Maybe in Hollywood, maybe in certain parts of Los Angeles, you know, that's what gets some press. A person who wears the finest and the fanciest, most expensive shoes with the designer brands. But that's what Hashem looks at when he sees the beauty of Klal Yisrael, our shoes. The Medrash wonders of Yudan says, even to describe a simple person in this way would be almost insulting. It's so superficial. So says the Medrash, rather it's referring to the footsteps of the Jewish people on the way to the Shalosh Regalim. That's what the Pasuk's talking about. That's why it's referenced here by Rashi. The Shalosh Regalim, on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is saying, I love your footsteps, I love your shoes, what about our shoes? Says the Medrash, I love the fact that sometimes your steps are revealed and sometimes your steps are concealed. I love that sometimes your shoes are on and I love that sometimes your shoes are off. My friends, let me ask you, when are our shoes on, when are our shoes off? Well, on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, wherever you're traveling from, different parts of Eretz Yisrael, of course you're wearing shoes. But the halacha is very clear. Brachos daf nun dalet amud aleph, it's a mishnah in the ninth parak of Brachos. Lo yikoneis laharabayis, you're not allowed to come up to Harabayis. B'maklo, you're not allowed to have your walking stick. Uva min alo, and you can't have your shoes. You can't have your wallet, and you can't have dust on your feet, it says. So you're not allowed to wear shoes on the Temple Mount. So therefore, says the Medrash, Hashem is praising our footsteps. Sometimes we do wear shoes, sometimes we don't wear shoes. But again, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, how beautiful are your footsteps in shoes? Why emphasize the wearing of the shoes? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach painted the following picture, and let's try to make it very, very real for a second. You're a Jew who's coming to Beis HaMikdash for the Shlosh Regalim. You're leaving your home. What does that mean? You put on your shoes and you start off on this long journey. At this point, you have your walking stick, you have your wallet, you have your shoes, you have whatever you need, and you start traveling. And it's not so simple. You're leaving behind perhaps members of your family. You're leaving behind your fields, your orchards. You're leaving behind your cattle, your stables of animals. You're leaving behind your chicken coops. You're leaving behind a lot of your possessions. And there you are on your way, and it's going to be weeks. You're going to be traveling for a very long period of time. You're going to be away from home for a very significant period of time. Now think about it just for half a second. If all of the males, as the Torah commands, have an obligation to ascend to the Beis HaMikdash, whether your family comes along or not, but that means that our homes are very much susceptible to attack. If there are thieves, if there are bad neighbors, they wait for that moment, the Shlosh Regalim come, all the men pack out of town, and next thing you know, there's an ambush. And all of a sudden, the women, the children, our livestock, our fields are totally taken captive, taken away from us. Now, the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's really one of the open miracles of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a guarantee in Parshas Kisisa. The pasuk says, "V'lo yachmod ish es artzecha ba'aloscha leiros es penei Hashem elokecha shalosh pa'amim bashana." Hashem makes a promise. It's a strange guarantee, but it's an amazing miracle. It's a miraculous thing that our neighbors will not desire our land when we go up for the regal. When we go aliyah leregal shalosh for the shalosh pa'amim bashana, Hashem says, "I'll protect your fields. No one's going to covet your land. Lo yachmod ish es artzecha." Everything's going to be protected. It's an amazing guarantee of the Torah, really unbelievable. So we have a guarantee from Hashem. But let's be human for a second. Who's not worried a little bit that when they pack up for a couple of weeks, and it's, by the way, it's not like randomly, you know, we went away. Right? It's known that the Jews are all leaving their territory for this period of time. What Jew in the world, even with Emunah, and even believing in the Haftachas Hashem, but it's a struggle nonetheless. Maybe a person will think to himself, well, that's a general promise to Klal Yisrael. But we know, we have Mamari Chazal, Shema Yigro Machet. Sometimes, Gemara says the beginning of Bracha, sometimes a person has a promise from Hashem. Yaakov Avinu himself was worried. Maybe my Averos have caused me to lose that supernatural protection. So a Jew is on his way, Aliyah L'Regal, and he sets out on the road. He's trying to come to have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's scared. Keep in mind, he has no means of communication. There is no police force that's protecting his land. There's no security system. There's no alarms. He's not going to get a warning on his phone if someone breaks into his house. Everything is just left out in the open. And yet this Jew goes with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. He starts traveling up to the Beis HaMikdash. With all of that uncertainty and all of that nervousness, he packs his bags and he sets out to the Beis HaMikdash with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is one of the hallmarks of the Jewish people. And I have to mention it today because today was the yahrzeit of the Klausenberger Rebbe. And I was chazering over the biography of the Heilige Klausenberger Rebbe. I have it right here, the Feldheim biography. Amazing, 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 amazing human being whose Mesiras Nefesh was unbelievable. The whole life of the Klausenberger Rebbe was Mesiras Nefesh. I'll just read you one line. He said to his father, I mean, they're talking about a person who in Auschwitz fought to not be Mechal Shabbos and baked matzah and kept every minug. It was unbelievable what he did. It wasn't normal to not eat treif and to be able to wear tefillin and to keep his beard all those years. It's crazy things to take so many beatings, but all to be able to continue a life of Torah and mitzvahs with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. Many years later, when the Rebbe was telling his followers about events of the war years, he declared, "In Shemayim, they wanted us Jews to perform mitzvahs with Mesiras Nefesh." He felt that was the call of the time, to be a person who's Moser Nefesh. The Rebbe's followers in Mulldorf saw clearly how the Rebbe lived the words of the sages in the path that a person wishes to walk he has led. It's a Gemara in Makos. B'derach Shalden wrote, Zaleilech Molichen Oso. The Rebbe wanted so badly to keep mitzvahs, and Hashem made it possible for him. He was blessed with a unique measure of divine providence, which enabled him to fulfill all the mitzvahs in every detail, even in the Nazi hell. Amazingly, he was able to fulfill even minhagim, like eating an apple on the night of Rosh Hashanah, eating fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Of course, he ate matzah on the Seder night, even though baking it was extremely risky and posed great danger. As Alexander Dierenfeld related, we saw then in every instance that Hashem guards the feet of his righteous ones. The Rebbe was guided from above so that he would be able to fulfill every mitzvah that it was possible to fulfill in the Mulldorf camp. Mesiras Nefesh, that was the whole life of the Klausenberger Rebbe. Shlita from Eretz Yisrael was once asked, you know, people send him, he has like these text messages, all sorts of interesting shilas, and they publish some of them. So he was asked one time, people wonder about this, he was asked one time, how are the Kohanim going to work in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the future Beis HaMikdash, in the winter time? Kohanim, of course, work barefoot, and the floor, the stone floor is very cold. So how are they going to deal with that in the future? Like what type of, you know, heating are they going to put in the stones to make it? So Shlomo Avner answered the question, how are Kohanim going to work in the Beis HaMikdash in the future during the winter time if they have to work barefoot? The same way they worked in the past with Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah, it's cold, but these are Kohanim. Kohanim's reason. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Mesiras Nefesh is what builds the Jewish people. So yes, a Jew sets out on the road. He's very nervous. He's heading to the Beis HaMikdash. The Panovitcher Rav, who also suffered terribly during the war, I mean, you can mention him in the same breath with the Klausenberger Rebbe. When the Panovitcher Rav built the Panovitch Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, in 1944, they had the cornerstone laying ceremony of the Panovitch Yeshiva. And later that night, the Panovitcher Rav threw a big festive meal in honor of that occasion for the Bachrim. And they washed and they made a motzi. And as they sat down, the Panovitcher Rav said, "You think that the cornerstone of Panovitch was laid today? No such thing. 57 years ago, Panovitch was established, and it was established, the cornerstone was first placed, the cornerstone was first laid on my mother's back." And he went on to explain the following story to the Bachrim of the Panovitch Yeshiva. He said, it was a freezing cold night, it was a winter, a snowstorm, she'en kamo. We were a very poor family. It was myself, my mother, my father, and I was one of five boys. And there was the discussion, we only had at the time one pair of boots. We only had one winter coat. It was like 5 feet of snow outside. And my mother and father said, you know, there's no way you're all going to yeshiva tomorrow. It's too dangerous out there. It's mamish freezing. So each of the children started to petition why they felt that they deserved to wear the boots and wear the coat and go to yeshiva the next day. The 12-year-old, who was the oldest at the time, said, "We just started learning a new Gemara. There's no way I'm missing yeshiva tomorrow. I absolutely need the boots. I need the coat." The 11-year-old said, "What do you mean? And he made his case, and the two younger siblings made their case. The Panovitcher Rav was the youngest. He was about 7 and a half at the time. And little Yosela, you know, Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman, turns to his parents. He said, "I'm just starting to learn Mishnayos in Cheder. Like, what do you mean? Of course, I have to go. I can't miss tomorrow." So they were discussing, and his mother decided, she said, "You know what?" His parents decided, his mother said, "We're going to have a lottery. We're going to have a lottery. Whoever wins the lottery gets to wear the boots, gets to wear the coat, and gets to go learn tomorrow." So, okay, they finished their simple meal, and the kids were benching that night with unbelievable kavana. Everyone was trying to shake the heavens. They wanted to win the lottery. And they went to sleep, and the mother said, "Whoever wins the lottery, I'll wake you up in the morning, and you'll get to go to yeshiva." 5:30 in the morning comes, and the Panovitcher Rav's mother wakes up her oldest child, the eldest son, and he looks at her and he says, I won the lottery?" She says, "No, I won the lottery." And she says, "Get out of bed." She wraps him in a blanket. She puts on the coat and the boots. She carries her son, her 12-year-old son, through this mega snowstorm, carries him to the Beis Medrash. She drops him off. It's mamish early in the morning. She says, "I'll be back at 5 this afternoon to pick you up." She goes home. She wakes up her next son. "I won the lottery?" "No, I won the lottery." And he wraps up her next son, the 11-year-old, in a blanket. She puts on the coat and the boots, and she takes that son to learn. Finally, she goes through this routine again and again. Finally, it's her fifth son, Rav Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman. It's Yaska's time to get out of bed. She wakes him up. "Mom, I won the lottery." "No, I won the lottery. You want to go to Cheder?" "Yes, of course." So she wraps him up, and as she's walking to Cheder, she's singing, "Ribono Sholem, I was zocheh to take four of my children in a blizzard today to yeshiva to learn. And I asked you, Hashem, help me to, she was so tired, she was so worn out. She says, help me to carry my fifth son to cheder. And I want them to know my mesiras nefesh for Torah. And I hope, Hashem, you'll reward them by making the Torah sweet in their mouth. So 57 years later, the Panovich Rav in 1944, at the cornerstone laying ceremony, Sudas Mitzvah, celebrating the cornerstone laying of the Panovich Yeshiva, he said to the Bachrim, he was talking to his mother, he said, Mama, Ima, he said, your Mesiras Nefesh to take five boys to Yeshiva and to make the Torah sweet in that blizzard. I promised myself then and there that I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to make it possible, in impossible circumstances, for people to learn Torah. The Panovich Rav, I think he lost 9 children. He lost his wife during the war. He came to Eretz Yisrael, but he said, it was my mother's Mesiras Nefesh that taught me what it means to be Moser Nefesh for Torah. So now let's come back to our Jew who's on the road to Yerushalayim. He's on his way. He has the promise, the guarantee of Parshas Kisisa, but he's scared for his life. He doesn't know what's going to be. He's abandoned his territories back at home, and he's traveling. And he walks a couple kilometers, and all of a sudden he stops and he says, I don't know, I'm so scared. Maybe I should go back and make sure everything's okay. What if I come back and I find that armed robbers have taken over my field, have taken over my animals? And then he assures himself, wait, no, but Hashem promised me. Lo yachmo, the enemies are not going to desire my property when I come to the Shlosh Regalim. And he pushes on a little bit more, and then he says, but maybe that's only for tzaddikim, maybe I'm an avarian. Maybe Hashem is going to allow my territory to be conquered. And then he reminds himself again of the words of Shlomo HaMelech, that what? Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. A person who does a mitzvah, Hashem protects him. And he pushes on with all of his sveikos, finally getting to the Beis HaMikdash. Now what happens when he arrives at the Beis HaMikdash? He arrives at Har HaBayis. He takes off his shoes and he walks in. And at that point, all of his sveikos melt away. Now he's lifnei Hashem. He's standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of his fears, all of his anxieties, all of his sveikos. Now he's mamish basking in the Hashras HaShechina. And now he feels, wow, it was all worth it. I was worried about an orchard. I was worried about a cow or a horse. I was worried about a couple of shepsala. Now I'm standing lifnei Hashem, and now he has the confidence to stand before Hashem. And he says, it was all worth it. All the risks that I took to be here, it was all well worth it. So now I ask you the question. Which part of the journey, part one or part two, is the more beautiful part of the journey? Part one, you have a Jew with his shoes on, traveling to the Beis HaMikdash. He's filled with sveikos, he's filled with anxiety. He's questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise. And yet he's trying to make it to the Beis HaMikdash. And then part two is a Jew who's mamish standing lifnei Hashem, b'kedushu v'tara, soaking up the Hashras HaShechina. So to an outsider, we would say, obviously, the Jew who has that clarity when he gets to the Beis HaMikdash is on a much higher level, is in a much better place than the Jew who's what? Than the Jew who had all these sveikos along the way. That's what we would think. But guess what, friends? Hashem thinks differently. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us in Shir HaShirim, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, the shoes off at Har HaBayis, that's nice, but Mayofu Pa'amayach Bana'olim Basnediv. You know what's even more beautiful? You look so beautiful in your shoes. You look so beautiful on your way to the Beis HaMikdash with all your concerns and all that coercion of the Yetzer Hara. Go home, save your field, save your animals, protect your children, get out of here. And you pushed ahead and you found a way to keep going and to keep going and to keep going, to overcome that uncertainty, to overcome all those sveikos. Hashem says, that is so beautiful to me that you are willing to trust my promise and to keep going. When you got to Beis HaMikdash, of course it's beautiful. Obviously, that's beautiful. But Mayafu Pa'amayach Ben Ha'olim Bas Nadiv. And said Rav Busa, what an important lesson for us. When we think, you know, the times that we serve Hashem with anxiety and uncertainty and sveikos and doubts and feeling unworthy and all of the issues that we have that stop us from serving Hashem with all of our strength and we're so unsure of ourselves. But we try and we try and we try. And Hashem, you know, we feel like it's not really, you know, when I'm really locked into Hashem and I have the clarity, that's gavaldik. But the times when, you know, when I'm not sure what to do and I'm just trying and I'm questioning and I have my doubts and my anxieties, my uncertainties, that's probably not as beautiful in the eyes of Hashem. And Hashem says it's just the opposite. It was the times when it was really hard to serve me and you pushed ahead that are most beautiful to me. And that's what the donkey said to Bilam. You think you're going to stop the nation that travels Aliyah L'Regel? But again, Rashi Dafka, Chazal Dafka emphasize what the Medrash, Rav Yudan, and the Shir Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabba emphasize. Mayafu pa'amayach ben ha'olim bas nediv. Hashem says, sometimes it's shoes on, sometimes it's shoes off. They're both beautiful. But what's most beautiful is the Jew who's moser nefesh to try to push through when he's really not sure what lies ahead. And he's really not sure of himself. He doesn't feel secure in his relationship with Hashem, but he's trying his best. So I think it's a very fitting message for our times. I think we all, every day we're still trying to figure out what's going to be next week, what's going to be in a month from now, what's the summer going to be, what's school next year going to look like, what's my job going to look like, what's shul reopening going to look like. There's so many sfeikos. A second wave, a new pandemic coming. I mean, it's crazy what's the talk that's going on in the world. So many sfeikos. But a Jew, despite all those distractions, he tries to learn. He tries to daven. He tries to do mitzvos. He tries to go weiter. And yes, some days he has a lot of questions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's still trying, and Hashem says, you know what? That journey, with all of its struggles, is beautiful in my eyes. All right, we should be zochet to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot of nachas by continuing to journey, shoes on and shoes off. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope you have a Laila Tov.